All right, book of Genesis chapter 1. We're going to skip around a little bit. Not a whole lot. But this is I call it a key to happiness. And I'm going to try to do a whole lot more of these. I've kind of been studying on this. But so Genesis 1:1, it says, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. Some of this you'll get right off. Some of it will take a second. Yeah. To obtain the abundant life, now and forever, a person must receive the gift that all-powerful God, who created the universe, provided. Amen? Ephesians 2:8-9 says, for by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So it's a gift of God. But we need to realize that all born-again believers, past, present, and future, were on the mind and heart of God before He ever created the heavens and the earth. Now that sounds kind of funny, but it's true. It wasn't an afterthought. So write this down, because I'm going to flip over, because I marked my page, and I'm going to flip there and read it real quick. But Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3 says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. So, now this is what I want you to think on. Go back to Genesis, if you turn there. Go back to Genesis again, and before He created all that He did, before He created the world, the heavens, the animals, the sun, the moon, before He did all of that, we were on His mind. Now, think on this truth. Before God created anything, He determined. Think on it now. He determined that whosoever put their faith and trust in His Son Jesus would be saved. So basically, salvation was put out there for everybody. Everybody that's ever been born, everybody that will ever be born. Now, we're going to go back to Ephesians. And we're going to go to Ephesians chapter 1. Because I got a few little things I want to go over. So Ephesians chapter 1. Now, we have been chosen in Christ. That's everybody. Everybody was chosen in Christ. When God, before the foundations of the world came to be, really and truly, it says it in 1 Peter 3:9. Maybe it's 1 Peter or 2 Peter. Without going over there, I can't tell you. But God said He would, that all men would come to know Him. Now, so everybody was chosen in Christ. Verse 4 of Ephesians chapter 1, it says, according as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundations of the world. Who's us? That's all of us. That's everybody. Now, if we receive Christ, the rest of this comes to play. If a person doesn't receive Christ, then these scriptures don't mean much. But if we receive Christ, then the following things come into play. Verse 7 says, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. So, once we receive the Lord, we're redeemed by His blood. Amen? That's good. Trust me, I'm going somewhere with this. We're going to get to a very important thing here in a minute. We are adopted into God's family. God created everybody, right? There hadn't just anybody popped up that God didn't create. God created everybody. But they're not all God's children. Now, He would that all men would become His children. But as we know, some haven't, because we know of one for sure. Rich man was in hell. He didn't become God's children, God's child. So if we accept Jesus, that we were all chosen in Him to do so, if we do accept Him, then we become His child. We are adopted into God's family. Verse 5, He says, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself. Now, God wanted all men to become His children, but it had to be through Jesus Christ. There is no other ladder to get there. There is no other way, bridge, if you want to, that'll span you from heaven, from earth to heaven. There's only one way, and that's through Jesus Christ. That's through His shed blood. And once we accept that, we are adopted into the family of God. Now, once we're adopted into the family, we are sealed by the Holy Spirit. Verse 13, He says, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. That's the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. In whom also after that ye believed. In other words, Paul laid it out pretty easy. He said, you heard the word. Okay? You heard the gospel of Jesus Christ, what He did for us. And then you received it and believed on it. Once we do that, it says, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. So we've been sealed into that family of God. We're there. Can't nobody take you from it. You can't take yourself from it. The devil can't make you sin enough to lose it. It's a done deal. You're sealed into that family. Now, as true believers, we belong to Christ. Amen? That's really what it's just told us. We belong to Christ, which God, before the foundations of the world, said that if we will believe in Him, then we have all these promises. I think it's pretty neat that He loved us before He even created us enough to provide the way. So we are in union with Christ. Nothing can separate us from Christ. Romans 8:39 tells us that there's height or depth or any creature or whatever, all I can't remember all it says, can separate you from the love of Christ. Even when we do wrong. Anybody ever do wrong? I ain't even going to ask Mike what he thought when he was waiting on Nita and she was downstairs eating. See, he went into surgery and they decided they ain't doing surgery. So there he sits in a gown. All of his clothes are out in the vehicle. And she's down there eating pizza and salad. I don't even want to go there. Although when I did go back to his room up there to the little waiting room, he was laughing. Which was good. Yeah, it was some smoke coming out of the ears, but I explained to him. I said, look, the nurse told her to go on and eat. They liked having him around. So, listen, the Lord loves us whether we're walking that life we ought to be walking, which, listen, we need to walk that life. We need to walk the walk that God has laid out for us, which we're going to get into a little more here in a minute. Now let's go back to Genesis. All the way back to chapter 1. Now I was studying and I got to doing a little comparisons with the Old and New Testament. I like to do that. You know, there's people that teach, well, the Old Testament isn't for us. It was for them, and we can't get enough. Listen, they're missing out on a bunch. They really are. Now, we were and are created in the image of God. Verse 26 of chapter 1 of Genesis. The Bible says, and God said, let us make man in our image. All right, now I want to stop there. You ever heard anybody say, well, that we believe in the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. It ain't in the Bible, the Trinity. You ain't going to find the word in there. But it teaches you the Trinity right here in the very first chapter of the Bible. It says, let us. Us is more than let me and you. And he says, in our image. Now, I want us to think about that real quick. Our image. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. The Bible says all through the Bible, it says we got a body, soul, and spirit. Now, the body's not hard for me to get. You got God the Father, God the Son. Who's God the Son? Jesus Christ. He's the body. He's got the body, okay? But God the Father, it says He's Spirit, and we must worship Him in spirit. It says that in John. The Holy Spirit, hence the name, Holy Spirit. So where's the soul? And that's what I kind of got to studying on it. But all through the Bible, you'll find out that the soul and the spirit sort of intertwine all the time. We as humans want to separate it out and say, well, here's the body, here's the spirit, and here's the soul. But it really, we can't understand that part. It's beyond my little finite mind. He tells us that the Word of God is able to even, what does it say, cut asunder between the soul and the spirit. See, I have a hard time with that one. Because really our soul and spirit is sort of intertwined. It all sort of thinks the same way. Part of it's emotion, but part of it, the Holy Spirit quickened. When I got saved, Jesus quickened me. The Holy Spirit moved in and dwells in there. So our innermost being and our emotional and our thoughts, it's kind of like heart and mind. So the body I can pull together. That's not a problem. But the soul and spirit, I'm like, wait a minute. So the soul and spirit, the best I can find in the Word of God, it sort of works together. And we have a tug of war all the time with what? Our flesh. Because our flesh wants to do things that we ought not to do because it likes to do the feel-good stuff and the all the other stuff that goes along with it. And so we're a body, soul, and a spirit. Now, the Holy Trinity is taught right here in this scripture. So if anybody ever questions you that, well, Trinity is not the Bible. How do you know there's a Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit? Well, because the Bible says so. And they're all together in this chapter. Speaks of them perfectly. So the Holy Trinity in reality is what created man in their image. He said, let us create man in our image. So we're created in the image of God. Now, chapter 2 of Genesis, verse 7, says, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground. Now that don't make us much, does it? And scientists have proved that all of our body parts have all the same, and I don't understand science, but it has all the same particles and whatever else that the dirt has. I thought, it took you guys how many years to figure that out, and I knew it already. So really, I'm smarter than what I realized, but, you know, so we're formed of the ground. Well, more than likely, animals are formed of the ground. They have blood and flesh, and a lot of animals do the same things we do. They breastfeed their young. They have their young kind of the same way, and we function the same. We breathe oxygen. But there's a difference between animals and human beings. Because the very next thing it says, He formed us of the dust of the ground. And then it says what? He breathed into His nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Now, I like my dog. I like my horses. But they're not like us. They were not made in the image of God. We are. They're not. We're special. I don't like that. We're unique. There we are. We're unique in that God created us in His image. We're eternal beings. Animals are temporal. They're here for a while. They're gone. They go back to the dirt. Done deal. But so does our body, don't it? Now, I want to listen real careful what I'm going to say. We are not bodies with a soul. We are a soul with a body. Now, we'll be doing Sister Norma Brockie's memorial service. And I've done other ones. And she was cremated. If they're laying there in a casket, you can say, listen, this person ain't here anymore. Because that body isn't them. That's the way we know them. But God doesn't know us by our body. He knows you by your spirit and soul. That's how He knows us, in that intimate relationship. We can't have that relationship like Peter had and John and them had, where they walked together with Jesus hand in hand and they could touch Him and feel of Him. We can't have that yet. But we do have a spiritual relationship with Him if we're getting our life the way it ought to be. We can have that abundant life that Christ talked about. But it's going to be through that. Now, so our body, really and truly, I'm a soul with a body. I can't see your soul. You can't see mine. Might be a good thing. Then again, I don't know. One of these days, we'll take on the same kind of body that Christ had. It'll be a glorified body, which will be pretty neat. Now, this is where I want to get to, because I've said all of this to say what we're fixing to go to. So, remember, we are special. We're unique out of all the beings on this earth, because we were created in God's likeness, in His image. Nothing else was. Go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Way back over there. Past, if you remember where Ephesians was, keep trucking, you'll find it. Keep turning pages, you'll get to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. I'm going to start with 23, but 24 is what... Well, no, I'm going to read 23 and 4, but 23 is what I want to focus on. 1 Thessalonians 5:23, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless until the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is He that calleth you, who also will do it. In other words, that one verse right there, verse 24, gives you a promise. Faithful is God that called you. God called all men. It's up to us, all humans, and it's up to us whether we accept the Lord Jesus Christ or not. He called everybody to be saved, but it's whoever accepts the Lord Jesus. Anybody ever tells you, well, there's some of us born going to heaven and some born going to hell. Listen, they're full of hogwash. Because I ain't met none of them that's going to hell. I've met a bunch of them that'll tell you, oh yes, I'm going to heaven. How do you know that? Well, because the Lord predestinated me to heaven. Really? What Bible are you reading? Because it ain't in my Bible. Well, predestinated is, isn't it? Well, yeah, but after you accept the Lord Jesus Christ, then you're predestined to be in the family of God and to serve the Lord. All that falls in afterwards. So these people that try to glorify themselves into thinking that they were more special than the guy south of the railroad track, I'm sorry, they're not. I hate to break their heart, but... So, but he says in 24, he says, faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. So he will carry out what he says he's going to do for us. And in Philippians, let me read that real quick. This is the super verse that I've read it. I couldn't tell you how many times here. Philippians 1:6 says, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. In other words, God is going to continue to perform the work in you. You ever heard that song? I think it's Jimmy Buffett that sang. No, it isn't either. It's Alan Jackson. I'm a work in progress. I love that song. Because I am. I've been a work in progress ever since I got saved. I'm a work in progress. I'm not finished yet, but I'm a long way from where I started. It's a work in progress. And He keeps working with us, and He will do that. Sometimes I get up and I think, what'd you go on strike or what? You know, you ever got up and you just didn't feel saved? You just didn't feel like, I don't feel like being a Christian. You know, I don't know how being a Christian should feel, because if this is it, I've got up like that. I've got up feeling mad at the world, and it's cloudy and raining, and I'm like, I like sunshine. You know, and it's got to rain and it's cold, and I just don't feel like maybe I'm where I ought to be. I even have felt alone, you know, where you have that, where's God, where you at? But see, He promised, though, He will always be there. So even when we feel that way, that Satan gets involved with us, helps us to feel that way. Because see, if he can keep you on the downside, then he can keep you from doing what we're supposed to be doing. But guess what? God is still working with us. He is still doing, because it says He will perform it. So He's going to help us in what we need. In this verse right here, 23, he says, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And Paul said, and I pray God your whole, our whole spirit, our whole soul, our whole body, be preserved blameless until the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, how in the world are we going to stay blameless? Because I just told you, I get up sometimes, I don't feel blameless. You know, especially when you walk through the house, you stump your toe and it's like, why? Or when they leave you in the, when they leave you in the operating room and they decided not to operate. You know, and you want to get a hold of whoever caused this problem. You know, and so how does that work in our lives? How can we grow effectively in our lives physically, intellectually, emotionally, and spiritually? Because see, all three of them work. Remember, we're a body, soul, and spirit. So all of that works. We need to grow emotionally and intellectually and spiritually, and we need to grow in that and keep our bodies intact. How do we do that? Huh? This is true. But there's a key to that. So let's go to Romans. So here's our key, okay? The key I was talking about, here comes our key. And It'll open up, listen, this will open up a whole lot, but we've got to get a grasp of it. Romans chapter 6. I'm going to start at verse, anyway, we'll jump back and forth, but start at verse 11. Paul says, in other words, we are to offer ourselves wholly to God in order to glorify Him. Our whole being is supposed to glorify God, right? That's what we're supposed to, that's what we're here for. We're here to glorify God the Father. We're not here to glorify ourselves. I've looked in the mirror before and I'm like, nah. I've seen some of you. I picked Ryan up tonight and I'm like, bless his heart. He tried. No, I'm kidding. So how are we to glorify Him? We're to glorify Him in everything spiritual, with our soul, with our body, everything we do. Now, how do we do this? In order to walk in God's will, we must continually remind ourselves of some things. And one of the main things, that we are dead to sin and alive in God, alive to God in Christ Jesus. All right, chapter 6 of Romans, verse 11. Paul says, likewise reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that's the one you're walking around in, that ye should obey it in the lusts thereof. Neither yield ye your members at members, that's your arms, hands, your feet, your mind, your soul, your spirit. That's all of that tied into one as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin. But yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. In other words, we need to get the grasp into our hearts, into our minds, and into our heart. See, we got to transfer. I've known people that they got all the knowledge in the world when it comes to the Bible. They got it all right here. They can quote verses, they can tell you stuff, but they ain't got it here. And if it ain't transferred from here to here, you got problems. The hardest thing for us to do is to transfer it from here down to here. Man, it's easy to gather the info, but to get it in here, like Paul got it, it ain't easy to do. All right. Go to verse 3 of Romans 6. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into His death? Therefore we are buried with Him by baptism into death. That like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of His death, we shall also be in the likeness of His resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with Him. Now, baptism. Baptism to too many people is looked at as a position, if you will. I guess that's a good word for it. In other words, you get baptized. What happens when we get baptized? We become a member of a church, if you're done scripturally. You become the member of a church. But baptism really goes a whole lot further than that. It really needs to have a meaning in your life. As here you stood, you got saved, you were crucified with Christ on the cross, they took you down off the cross. It's almost like having your funeral. You were taken down off the cross, and there you stand. And then all of a sudden they bury you. They put you down in the water. You're buried. Did Christ stay in the grave? See, it would be so much easier if we could just say, you know what? Let me put you in a cave and roll a stone in front of it. Don't leave you there for 3 days, though. And then move the stone and you come out new person. That's what Christ did. Christ, flesh and blood, died on the cross, shed His blood for us. He was flesh and blood, went into the grave, but when He come out victoriously. He changed to a glorified body. Now, we're not going to change to a glorified body yet, but we need to realize that, guess what? We actually, when we got saved, we died with Christ. We were buried with Christ. And just like Christ was risen to walk in newness of life, that's what we're to do. We're to rise and walk in the newness of life. So when we get that in our hearts and minds that, listen, the way to serve God with every fiber of our being, that's with our flesh, that's with our minds, our spirit, our heart, our soul, everything, with all you've got wholly. The way to do that is to say, sin can't bother me, Satan can't bother me, because I'm dead to all that. Because that's what He told us right here. He said, knowing this in verse 6, that our old man is crucified with Him. Who's Him? That's Christ. Who's the old man? That's the old nature. In other words, what did the old nature want to do? The old nature wanted to party. I like smoking a little dope, like drinking some beer. I really like Jack Daniels, but the bottle I like was $50 a bottle. It's real smooth, so I couldn't drink a lot of it. I like doing a whole lot of other things we won't go into. That was the old man. That's what he likes doing. But whenever I got saved, the old nature supposedly is dead, isn't it? But every now and then, boy, you get that knock at the door, and guess who? It's the old man. Now, if he's dead, you ain't going to hear the knock. If we'll get that into our hearts that, hey, did you hear somebody knock? Nah. Because it's the old man. The old man's dead. That old nature is dead. It hung with Christ on the cross. I saw it buried. We had the funeral of the old Jim Smith. He was buried. I saw it happen. And then guess what? God resurrected him to walk in a newness of life. And so from that point, we're not supposed to be out there strolling along with that swagger looking for trouble. We're supposed to be out there cruising along like a soldier of Christ and saying, hey, what can I do for the Lord? How can I work for the Lord? When I come to church, I don't need to walk in and say, well, God bless me, I'm here. You know, but do you know how many people do that? We laugh at that, but a lot of people will, well, I made it to church, the Lord will bless me. No, we ought to be walking into church and saying, God, what can I do for you in church today? And when I leave church, what can I do for you? But if we'll get it into our hearts and minds, and Galatians 2:20 is a good place to start. We should go there. 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, and then you'll find Galatians. I had this memorized one time, but they say it's age that I forgot it. Galatians 2:20, Paul stated, well, let's look at 19. He said, for I, through the law, am dead to the law, that I might live unto God. Now, this is the verse. He said, I am crucified with Christ. We need to get that. The old man was crucified. Not me. The old man was. Nevertheless, I'm alive. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. That's the way we're to live. And if we can get it in our hearts and minds, listen, that when we got saved, the old nature died on the cross. So when that haunting old man comes back, and you're sitting around, and all of a sudden, he knocks on the door. No, I ain't answering it. He's dead. That's just remnants from the past. He's dead. Then we can do what 1 Thessalonians said. We can be blameless on this earth. We can strive for that on this earth. Are we ever going to be sinless? No, it's always going to be there to fight. It's always going to be there knocking on the door. But you know what? If we'll strive for that, it'll be a whole lot less. So, starting out this new year, reminding ourselves of this truth, that we're dead to the old self. We're dead to sin. Don't allow your members. What's all our members? Hands, feet, arms, this body, our soul, our spirit. Don't let them be instruments of sin. They need to be instruments of righteousness. So, really and truly, think about this. If we all truly grasp this, it'd be wow, what a difference we could make in our home. What a difference, you know, start out in our home, what comes on TV, and it's like, oh, we don't need to watch that. You know, we need to spend more time with God. We could make a big difference in our home. We could make an even bigger difference in our church, in our community, the state of Nevada, and that would even stretch out to the world. We could make a big difference if we'll get that grasp in our mind. We get that one key. It can open up a door to a lot of other things in our lives. And hey, I used to think, well, Christians don't have fun. I really did. Only the good die young. Billy Joel. Only the good die young. You know, well, hey, guess what? I ain't old, but I ain't young. I'm still kicking. People got this idea that well, you're just goody-two-shoes and you can't have fun. Listen, I have fun. I thought we were going to get booted out of the hospital today. We was having a ball. You got to pray. Listen, you need to remember who I was with. My wife, Sister Lori, Sister Nita. Oh, me and Mike were... It's a wonder they didn't boot us out. Especially in the lunchroom. We were having a ball, though. And you know what? None of us felt guilty about what we had done because we ain't done nothing bad anyway. We just enjoyed life. Amen. Christians can have fun. You ain't got to go out and drink. Listen, drinking may be pleasurable for a little while, but I've hugged the porcelain deal in the bathroom. Yeah, I've laid there thinking, you know what? If I can get over this, I ain't going to be this foolish again. That lasted a week till next Friday. That's how stupid people are. And that is stupidity because you know better and you do it. But listen, Christians can have fun. They don't have to do all of that. You ain't got to do all that to have fun. And I don't have to peek out the blinds to see if the cops are out there. When I get up in the morning, it's like, wow, I feel good. But we just got to get a hold of that. We got to grasp that, listen, we died to our old self. That's gone. Is he going to come back and haunt you? You bet he will. But just all you got to do is say, look, you're dead. Go away. Dead things don't bother me. Never have. I killed a deer one time. I've killed lots of deer. I killed a big old buck one time. I walked up. grabbed a hold of him, drug him up to the nearest tree. He didn't do a thing to me because he was dead. It's the same way with our old nature. If we'll treat it as it's dead, it can't bother us. Let's stand. Brother Philip,
if you'll come up, play us one verse invitation, unless someone moves.